Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 30th of June, recording at 9:38 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now, a quick look at the highlights here today on what has been yet another very exciting day. In terms of stock markets, Asia was definitely steady here, and we had new all-time highs by both Indonesia and Malaysia. That's something I've been talking about a lot here, that firmness, and if this was going to be more than a, well, I'll come back to that, more than a correction that they would lead, but I'll come back to that point. Philippines were also higher, but it was firm all around, including the Singapore market, which had lagged with that big banking contingent. Now, China also is up. India up for the sixth consecutive day, and it's been quite a rebound by India. European stock markets were all strong, and we had gains. Top gains seems to be the Spanish IBEX that I can see on my screen, up 2.13%, but the FTSE 100 was up just over 1.5%. Should have mentioned in Asia there that China, Hong Kong rather, China was strong, but Hong Kong was also firm, up 1.5%. Australia up 1.73%, very good gain. In the Americas, modest gain, very modest gain for Brazil, Mexico down slightly. Canada better, 0.85%. The USA, another good day, up over 1% across the main indices. In long-dated government bonds, prices were weak once again, although the U.S. 30-year treasuries, which fell very rapidly at one stage, then and it was the fourth day down in a row for those futures prices, quite sharp declines. And they subsequently bounced and recovered two-thirds of today's losses, but still closed down half a point. The U.S. dollar index is down at 74.37. The stronger currencies in here really are the commodity currencies. The Australian dollar back up to 107.18. The greenback has slipped against the Canadian to 96.40. Sterling hovering near that, just above that 160 level. The euro back up to 145. And precious metals. Interesting, some weakness in here today. Gold is currently just above 1500. That's down $11.50. Platinum down a couple. Palladium managed a modest gain, $6. Silver down 94 cents. It had a good day yesterday, but coughed it up, and gold retraced all of yesterday's rally and a little bit more. The grain and bean complex clobbered in here today. Corn limit down. Wheat couldn't have been far off that, down 60 cents. And soybeans, they also had it, but they all fell quite sharply in here. The USDA had upped their planting figures. Now, that's the trend in the right direction as far as I'm concerned, because food price inflation's been a big problem here, but the USDA has not been among the more accurate forecasters. So when they, and then we're talking about plantings here, not yield, but it's interesting. So it certainly hit the grain and bean complex. Crude oil also, well, it's quiet in here today. I see a tiny bit up for NYMEX, that's at 95, tiny bit down for Brent, 111 and change. Natural gas a little bit firmer following a week early trading. It then rallied on lower than expected stocks. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, this has been a good healthy technical rally in here, and particularly for some of the markets that had been very much underperforming, India being the classic example. And when I see this kind of strength, I think, well, there's definitely some real short covering in there overall. But I think there's inevitably also some buying and that we are seeing. Now, I mentioned Indonesia and Malaysia in that generally very firm ASEAN sector. Now, as you've probably heard me say, if you're a regular listener to these audios, that the ASEAN sector it led following lows in October and November of 2008. It was quick to base build, and when Wall Street was coming off its additional low in March of 2009, the ASEAN stock markets were breaking upwards, completing bases, and led all the way. They led last year after the correction that we, or during the correction that we were seeing for global stock markets. They were the first to bottom in 2010 following that reaction. They were pushing upwards from June onwards, whereas we had Wall Street going right through August before picking up. And they're leading today. Now, they only just hit new highs, and only marginally so, but that's impressive evidence. And none of those markets are overextended relative to their MAs. They corrected that relatively early on. And so that's a good indication overall. Plus the fact that there really aren't any weak markets now, because China was weak, India was weak, but they both bounced back. They've got further to go to confirm solid floors here recently, but a rally's got to start somewhere, and this has been a brisk one, and that will raise a few eyebrows around the globe and make people reassess here. Now, again, European stock markets, steady action overall. Wall Street's action following mean reversion corrections to the 200-day moving average, as we saw with Germany and some of the other European stock markets. This is looking positive. The leadership in here has been good. A number of shares within these markets have broken to new high ground and extended moves to new high ground for the year. Now, a point that veteran subscribers will have heard me make on a number of occasions and heard Owen make is that after a long-ranging phase, such as we've seen, the shares that lead on the upside clearly outperform, and those would be anything that has resumed its overall upward trend on Wall Street and Germany and the United Kingdom, pretty much any other market around the world, or in the case of Indonesia and Malaysia, the ones that are actually leading those indices into new high ground. Those are the ones that are probably going to get the best medium-term performance as well. Now, there can be exceptions if you have a very defensive sector, but for the most part, Those early leaders become medium-term leaders and usually lead right up until they give early warning of the next corrective phase. So, the short-term oversold condition is now moving into a short-term overbought condition, but we've got a little upside momentum here. I'll be interested to see if this spills over into profit-taking tomorrow after such a good week. And that wouldn't be surprising, but I think it'll take a sharp downward, would take a sharp downward dynamic to look like anything other than a consolidation of gains overall. And as I mentioned yesterday, suffice it to say, people are still worrying. They're still worrying about Greece. There not a day passes, not a day passes when somebody doesn't write or circulate a story about China's imminent implosion. Been hearing that for years, and there'll be one of those "I told you so" moments, no doubt, at some stage. But I don't think it looks imminent, not based on that technical action recently, and also based on the attractive valuations that we see in that market. This environment, in terms of possibilities here, the odds favoring the best case scenario that I have outlined and Owen has outlined, and that was that we would see reversions to the mean by the leading markets, and then we would see those markets pick up, the mean being the medium-term mean being the rising 200-day moving averages. We've seen a lot of that. ASEAN leadership, we're certainly seeing that, and even an improvement in banking share performances. But now there I'm referring to the West and to Japan. If you want to see a strong banking sector, look at Indonesia, look at India. And that tells us something as well. Okay, there's a interesting linkage here also, which says that investor confidence is increasing. These long-dated government bond prices have weakened significantly in here this week. And they were really, they represented something of an Indian rope trick in my mind. The rope going up while the piper is playing, sort of rising as if by magic. Now, those uptrends have been broken. And therefore, in other words, the yield downtrends have been broken. I think probably, well, I've described the situation as one of these long-dated government bonds being in base-building phases. I've said they would be type 3 bases, in other words, ranging time and size, and they may well be multi-year bases. But yields went too low, therefore the bonds too high, and I think we've got a medium-term peak at least here in these bond prices. So that means another medium-term low within the overall base formations for the yields. Are we likely to get a little bit of pause and ranging, maybe little technical rally such as we saw in the latter part of today by the U.S. contracts. But I think that, as I say, I think that the medium-term highs for those futures are in, and that they will certainly range lower if these stock markets continue to push higher. And I think people have kind of overdone the Greek chorus concerns. Of course, that problem's not resolved. And to coin a phrase, they've only kicked the can further down the road. But, a point that I've often made about crises is that the crisis has to be seen to be getting worse for it to remain a weight on markets generally. That's not the case because, we've gone past the parliament. The banks are coming in Germany, and to a degree, they're all going to extend these loans to Greece. So they bought more time. That's all. Greece's indebtedness is still rising a good deal faster than it's being paid off. I can think of a few other countries that are in that position as well. Not. Including also including the largest economy in the USA, obviously. But the Greek problem is moving away, or will shortly move away from the front page headline. And then the contagion concerns will subside for a while. Before coming back again at some later date. This is going to be a long haul saga. How could it be anything other than that here? Meanwhile, the only thing that would really get me tossing and turning in my sleep at night would be if we saw oil prices spiking higher for one reason or another. When they were higher up near the peaks of the year to date, I felt that this was being more speculatively than fundamentally driven, and I think the subsequent shakeout bears that out. They firmed yesterday, and well, they firmed this week, but not significantly so. They haven't been big leaders to the upside, and with the food prices coming down here today, the staple food prices, corn, wheat, soybeans, rice. That's good news in terms of commodity price inflation. And good news in terms of commodity price inflation means that governments don't feel they've got their backs to the wall and don't need to make a st central banks don't feel that they have to make so much of a statement in terms of interest rate policies. So we can, I think, see a little bit of light at the end of the proverbial tunnel in terms of China and Japan and China, not Japan's, China and India's inflation. That's being reflected by this rally that we're seeing in stock markets. So no, we don't have some Panglossian outlook, but given some of the pessimism that's been making the rounds, I think things aren't all that bad. Long-term problems remain, but arguably they've been contained, and low interest rates generally are equity positive. Valuations have improved as a result of the consolidation during this medium-term correction. And I still look forward to a decent fourth quarter. The next big question, we're getting a summer rally. The next big question is, do we get a September, early October dip? Well, depends how overextended we get on the upside, what happens to crude and other prices, events, which we'll be discussing every single weekday along the way. Meanwhile, let's enjoy what we've got, and all the best to all of you.